Hey, good afternoon, listeners. This is Comfest Radio, broadcasting from the St. Lawrence Market neighborhood and brought to you by Comfest Global Community Film Festival. Here's Max Moore.
Hello. I would like to talk today about the idea of a community commonwealth. To start, I would like to advocate the organization of a community commonwealth. One could well ask, why do we need a community commonwealth, and what is it? Well, let me explain why I think the world could benefit from the organization of a community commonwealth. First, we should define what we're talking about. A community commonwealth is an organization of communities, cities, and towns, and an association for people who support the communities they live in. Seen another way, a community commonwealth is also a forum for discussing issues of importance to cities and towns. Perhaps in the future, a community commonwealth could function like a United Nations for communities and cities and towns around the world. Now back to the question of why the world needs a community commonwealth. The world needs a community commonwealth so that cities and towns can stand up to the federal government and demand a fair share of tax revenues for municipalities. Here's some background information. Research shows that communities currently manage 40% of our public services. However, communities only receive approximately 8% of our tax dollars to do all this work. On the other hand, federal governments receive approximately 50% of our tax dollars to provide 20% of our public services. It seems the federal government is overfinanced and local governments are underfinanced. The federal government currently has more than twice as much money as it needs for providing federal public services. In other words, the federal government could do the same job with half the money. Alternatively, communities, cities, and towns are underfunded. Cities and towns in which we live need twice as much money to provide the municipal services that people want. If we want cities and towns to give us roads and sewers and electricity and industrial parks and employment and a local economy, cities and towns need more money. To do all the things we are asking them to do, cities and towns need to double their budgets. We're talking a lot of numbers here. What it adds up to is this. Federal governments could cut their budgets in half and no one would notice. Municipalities need that money to build the better life that everyone seems to want. In other words, cut federal budgets in half and allocate the money to municipalities. One way to do this is to allocate half of federal income tax revenues to municipalities. To accomplish this goal would require an organization that represents municipalities, like a community commonwealth association. A community commonwealth association could launch a class action lawsuit on behalf of cities and towns, asking that half of federal income tax revenues be allocated to municipalities. Would you join a community commonwealth association, which was suing the federal government to obtain a better financing deal for municipalities? If you are interested in the idea of a community commonwealth association and paying your income tax dollars to municipalities directly instead of going through the federal government, you can research more information on a website called communitycommonwealth.info. That's www.communitycommonwealth.info. If you're interested in joining the Community Commonwealth Association, you can check on the website. There's contact information, and please let us know who you are. In that vein, I would now like to talk to someone who can ask some questions about Community Commonwealth. Sandy DeFritis.
Hi, Max. Well, this is a very interesting topic. The thing I have a problem with it, it's still not clear to me. It's a little confusing. I think it's going to be it's very new and confusing to those who are listening. So let's start. give me a clear definition of this community commonwealth.
The community, and a great question, because it's a big topic and it's hard to absorb all in a radio show where we don't have a PowerPoint presentation. But a community commonwealth is basically just an association of people who support their communities, people who want to see more better funding for communities. There are many possibilities for a community commonwealth association. One is that we could set up a community commonwealth association in every town and every city. What this would take would be people in every town and every city who are interested in the subject of how to get a better financing deal for communities. What it really means is that it's a big topic, and the discussion should start right now. We can talk about why we need a community commonwealth association. If you talk this up with your neighbors, I think you'll find that a lot of people are unhappy with the present state of financing in municipalities. Cities are asked to do a lot of things that they can't afford to do, you know, starting with the roads and sidewalks and snow clearing and garbage removal, and the maintenance of garbage dumps is a multi-million dollar business. It needs money to do these things. Education, hospitals, seniors' homes, all of these services are provided by municipalities, or we look to municipalities to provide these services, but municipalities often come up short on the funding. They can't get enough money to provide all the services that people want. On the other hand, federal governments have more money than they can spend in legitimate ways. Most of the what we call government waste happens at the federal government level. Municipal governments don't waste government. They're too starved for cash to waste much money. But federal governments have more money than they need. They could provide the same federal services with half the money.
So really what you're saying is we should shift the conversation not just about what services we need, but how to get the funding from the government to provide these services. Is that so? What I'm getting? Is that the information I'm getting?
That's right. It's getting clearer. Thank you. The goal would be to launch a lawsuit, a class action lawsuit, on behalf of everyone and all communities to get the federal government to share their income tax revenues with communities.
Now, how in the world do you get the federal government to say, okay, here's half the money, let's go?
The federal government will never agree to anything, probably because they're paralyzed most of the time. But the federal government, we don't have to ask the federal government for permission to do this. We have to ask the courts. There is a legal precedent for a community, what we're asking in terms of transferring funding from the federal government to municipalities. In the 1930s, provinces were short of money. Now, let me go back to 1917. This was when income taxes were instituted. Income taxes were brought to us in 1917 as a way of raising funds to finance the First World War. Now, the First World War ended in 1918. The federal government instituted income taxes in 1917 with the promise that the income taxes would end when the war ended. And because it was a temporary war measure, income taxes, the federal government claimed that it had a monopoly on income tax revenues. Now, when the war ended in 1918, the income taxes continued, and so did the federal monopoly on income taxes. By the 1930s, when the worldwide economic depression hit everybody, the provinces in Canada called on the federal government for a share of the income tax revenues that they were receiving. The federal government refused, so the provinces took the federal government to court and claimed that they demanded a fair share of income tax revenues for the provinces in Canada. This led to a decision that provinces should receive 30% of all income tax revenues. It's not like the federal government agreed to do that. They didn't want to give up that money, but the provinces insisted, the provinces sued, the provinces had a good claim on it, because the federal government monopoly on income taxes was assumed, but it is not law. Provinces challenged the federal government monopoly on income tax revenues, and they won the right to receive 30% of their income tax revenues. This is why provinces now receive our income tax payments directly and not through the federal government. What I'm saying is that this set a legal precedent for municipalities. Municipalities can now launch a class action lawsuit to demand a fair share of income tax revenues from the federal government share of tax revenues based on the 1930 precedent.
How do you get people to rally behind this concept? I mean, the average person today is so bombarded with information, and a lot of people don't even bother to check to see where their taxes are going. They don't even check to see what taxes are paying in the stores. Some of them are paying 13% for items that they should only be charged at 7%, and they leave. How are you going to get these people involved?
It's very confusing. But if you're if you feel confused and if you feel upset by the taxes you're paying, the answer is to get interested in these matters, because there is a solution. And the solution is that if funding is shifted from the federal government to municipal governments, your municipalities will have more money to provide more services. We will feel less under pressure in our communities. Now, your question is really about why should people be interested in this? Well, it's almost like there was a movie a long time ago called Network, in which an announcer stood in front of the cameras and said, "I'm mad as hell and I'm not going to take it anymore." Well, that is sort of the situation that a lot of people are in these days. These are not easy economic times. The economic difficulties that everybody is facing are largely focused on the services that we're not receiving from our municipal governments. We can't receive services from our municipal governments because the federal government has all the money. However, we the people, if we are angry enough, we can band together, we can talk to our city councilors, we can talk to our mayors, and we can ask them to petition the federal government for a fair share of income tax revenues. This isn't an easy fight to win, but the discussion could start now. The debate on whether income tax revenues should be shifted from federal treasury to municipal budgets can begin with you and me, and in discussions with all of us and our neighbors. What we're hoping is that enough people will be angry enough about our difficult economic times to bring this issue up, make it more public, and talk to your city councilors, talk to your mayors, tell them we need to shift income tax revenues from the federal government to municipal governments, and that all municipalities should band together and issue a class action lawsuit for a fair share of income tax revenues from the federal government.
The other question I have is, so you say this whole income tax was implemented in 1917, correct?
Yes.
That's over 100 years, that's nearly 100 years ago. So the government, federal government comes back and says, since that time, we have provided X number of services that benefit the country, that we all enjoy, and it's all been allocated. How do you then say to the government, well, we still need this percentage?
Municipalities do need this money, which currently goes to the federal government. The federal government will, of course, say those things, that they need the money, they need all the money. But let me tell you, I worked for the federal government for 20 years. I can give personal testimony to the statement that the federal government has more money than it needs. I would say that the federal government has twice as much money as it needs to provide the public services that people want. If federal budgets are cut in half, yes, they will have to make cuts. But believe me, there's a lot of cutting that could be done in the federal government. And the money will not be missed in terms of the public services we receive. It is estimated that we receive 20% of our public services from the federal government. However, the federal government receives 50% of our tax revenues.
So then you're saying to them, okay, cut from somewhere else to give that money to the municipalities.
Mm-hmm.
And then wherever they cut from, that group becomes irate. Isn't it like playing people off against each other?
It's a matter of where we think the money is best spent. Do you think that your public services provided by the federal government are worth more than the public services provided by your municipalities? If you appreciate the public services provided by the city or town that you live in more than the public services provided by the federal government, you, as a voter, have a right to say so. The point is, it's not a matter of asking the federal government for permission to do things. It's a matter of exerting our rights as voters.
How do you get people stirred up? That's my main concern.
Well, the first step is to discuss the issue. If you want to pursue this issue and want to discuss this problem of municipal underfunding with your neighbors, I'm sure you're going to hear a lot of people saying, yes, we should be receiving more public services from our municipalities. We need potholes fixed. We need more seniors homes. We need better education. We need music teachers. We need to take care of our children. We need to take care of our seniors. There's so many needs in a community. However, ask those same neighbors what public services they receive from the federal government that they appreciate, and it's a very short list. Most people can't think of the public services they receive from the federal government, other than the Army, the Navy, and the Air Force, which are drastically overfunded. It's my personal opinion that the military could be cut in half and no one would notice the difference, but that's just my personal opinion. Other people may see other areas of the federal government that would be better cut. It's not up to me or one other person to decide where cuts should be made. It's the totality of where of all of our votes that will determine where cuts could be made in the federal government and how much money should be reallocated to municipal governments.
You know, it seems to me that the average person would have to be more aware of what the federal government funds or overfunds. How do they get this information to even begin the conversation?
That's right. You can, of course, try to get information out of the federal government, but unfortunately the information we get from the federal government is hazy at best and inaccurate at worst. There was an office of the Parliamentary Budget Office set up in Ottawa to give us more accurate information on budget spending, but now the Prime Minister has decided to emasculate that office and get rid of its leader and get rid of the honest reports that are coming out of it, so that the Parliamentary Budget Office will now only give information that the Prime Minister approves of. So you see, we're losing honesty in the federal government. There's not a lot of honesty in the federal government anyway. They can say what they want because it takes 5 or 10 years before we really can evaluate what they've done. We just have to look at what we're feeling about the federal government. Are you feeling that you're getting full value from all the tax dollars that are going to your federal government? Now ask that same question. Are you getting full value from the tax dollars going to your municipal government? Well, let me tell you, federal governments receive 50% of our tax dollars right now. Municipalities, all municipalities combined, receive 8% of our tax dollars right now. Let me repeat that last number. Municipalities receive 8% of our tax dollars. Federal governments receive 50% of our tax dollars. That is an imbalance, which is the cause of all our economic problems. Believe me, the more you get into the subject, the more interesting you will find it is, and you will find that the imbalance in government funding is the source of most of our economic problems. This is why we are forming the Community Commonwealth Association to start the discussion of, should the federal government be overfunded and municipalities be underfunded? Should this continue? Or can we change the situation?
And how does the average person get involved?
The average person, the ordinary person, the voter, all of you out there in Radio Land, you can be your own Community Commonwealth Association. No matter what town or village or city you live in, form a Community Commonwealth Association. Create your own agenda, but look at these numbers and you make your own decision on whether the federal government is overfunded and municipal governments are underfunded. If you believe that is true, then talk to your city councilors, talk to your mayor, and form a group, form an association in your city or town. Raise the issue as loudly as you can and eventually bring it up in political circles. This isn't something that's going to take place overnight or in a year or two. This is a discussion that will probably go on for 10 or 20 years. But because the problem has been identified so clearly, that is, it's federal overfunding, municipal underfunding, and people are starting to talk about this issue, we think that it is possible to solve this financial imbalance among our different levels of government, possibly in 20 or 30 years.
You say people begin to talk about this issue. I've never really heard about it until you mentioned it. So where have you found people in your travels talking about this?
Like I said, I worked in the federal government for 20 years. That's where I did a lot of my research. You see, in the federal government, a lot of public servants will really only work half of the time. The other half of the time, we would sit around and research what we wanted because there was time available. And one of my favorite topics was government financing. That's when I discovered the numbers about federal government financing, municipal government financing, how imbalanced it is. And I started tracing this problem as the source of a lot of economic problems. Believe me, when you start looking into these numbers, I think you will agree municipalities are underfunded and the federal government is overfunded.
So how do we begin this conversation?
With between you and me, and everyone who's listening can start talking to their neighbors.
And there is a way they can reach you?
There is a website called communitycommonwealth.info, I-N-F-O, communitycommonwealth.info, and I can be contacted through that. If you're interested in forming a Community Commonwealth Association in your neighborhood, please go ahead. You don't need my permission. We're all voters, we're all equal, and we all want to solve this problem of municipal underfunding. So let's start talking to everybody.
Well, shouldn't there be something at least where they can either have sign up for, like, create a list, sign up, and get people together just to begin the dialogue? Because you know the average person is going to go out on their own and do this.
As I say, go to communitycommonwealth.info, and there you can contact us.
Is there do you have any kind of a form letter, not a letter, any kind of a form that they can sign up, or are you going to put something on that site?
No, it's not that I'm leading the charge. It's more like an association of equals. We're all equal in this. If you in Medicine Hat, Alberta, want to form a Community Commonwealth Association, you can do this on your own. You don't need my permission or to sign up. However, you can contact me. So, yes, there is a contact, but it's not a centrally controlled organization as such.
Hey, can we have a follow-up show on this subject? Because I'm sure there's going to be a lot of our listeners that are going to want to know a lot more about this particular situation.
Certainly, Norm. That's a great idea. If anyone out there would like to continue this conversation, I would be glad to come back and continue the debate on whether municipalities are underfunded and the federal government is overfunded.
How would you like to come back next week or the week after?
Okay. That sounds good to me.
Well, thank you, Max Moore. You've been listening to Max Moore on Comfest Radio, broadcasting from the St. Lawrence Market neighborhood, and brought to you by Comfest Global Community Film Festival. This is a festival, a unique festival, which addresses social and cultural issues, both local and international. Each year, the festival takes place in the St. Lawrence Market neighborhood in September, and not only do we have great films, but great heated, passionate debates that leave you yearning for more. Our Comfest Marder Awards are not only awarded to filmmakers, but to community members who make a difference in their neighborhoods. And to nominate someone in your neighborhood or organization, please email us at telemark@rogers.com. That's T-E-L-E mark@rogers.com. Comfest is a charitable organization and depend on donations. For more information on how to donate, or submit your film for consideration, or to volunteer, please visit comfest.com. Thank you for listening.